The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 6th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Check in with him about the futures market. We'll get a complete update of yesterday's report from USDA on crop conditions across the Midwest. In specific, we'll hear from the five top corn producers in the nation, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Taking a look at what the numbers did at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Kansas City Board of Trade on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. July contract in Kansas City for the wheat at $4.78 and a quarter. They were down 17 and a quarter today. July wheat at $3.85 off 13 and a half, and September's at $3.99 and a quarter. We're down 15 cents. July corn futures $2.47 and three quarters, down 5 and a quarter. September's at $2.59 and a half. We're off 5 and a quarter. December contract down 5 and a quarter as well. At 273.5, the March contract 284.5, down 5.5 for the day. July soybean futures 593.5, down 9 3/4. The August at $6.75, down 9 1/4. And September soybeans at 606 were down a dime today. November beans down a dime as well, 619. And the bean meal futures, July contract $180.90. Final settlement price there down $3 even. July bean oil off 27 at $25.03. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle $109.85. They were up 27.5. June live cattle $80.22.5, up a nickel. And June lean hogs 17.5 cents higher at this hour, and the settlement price at $70.30 for the day. Outside markets very quickly, crude oil down a dime at $72.50 a barrel. The CRB index at 344.74. They're off 404 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average below $11,000 at 10,956, down 92 at this hour. And the gold futures trading the July contract at $631.19, off $14 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Taking a look now at the numbers with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for joining us today. Tell me about this marketplace. We were hoping, I think, for a turnaround Tuesday after a big Friday in the bean pit and kind of a bad day yesterday, and she just slumped again today.
You know, a lot of things were happening out there, Todd. Of course, number one, the crop ratings coming out last night, being on the high end of expectations. Increasing the corn and the beans coming out at 70% good to excellent. That along with the planting pace and the emergent pace and the for the beans and the corn, all those being a little bit positive. The weather forecast looking good for the next 2 weeks, basically. Some warm, dry areas, but nothing looks too bad in the near future. That along with Bernanke's comments about how we need to keep the inflation in control, the dollar surging on that, the crude oil backing off on the a little bit of calmness in the Iran situation, and the gold and silver all being lower, all that put together along with some fund liquidation made for another lower day.
Lower day. Anything that farmers should be concerned about at this point, or is it
there's a lot of things to be concerned about at this point in time. in the respect that we closed down below the 50-day moving average in the July corn, and we closed below the 100-day moving average in the July beans. Basically, the funds are very, very long corn. And if they would happen to use those signals to start exiting something, why, we could take this corn down even further. The other part of the equation is that these are the levels where we generally have been rallying from as of late. It has the atmosphere and the economy changed enough to take the fund buying out and take the protection. You know, they generally like to protect their position from these levels, and we've had a buy the dip attitude. Are we going to change that to a sell the rally attitude?
If you take a look at the charts, and you talked a little bit about moving the moving averages and dropping below, of course, the corn gap down in both the nearby and the far deferred December contract for the new crop this year, or for the new crop. But still trading, at least in the new crop, in what would be considered a heavy support area. What happens if we move lower than we settled today?
Well, I think, you know, trade below 72 probably chart-wise projects to a 60. 260 type trade, Todd. And, you know, as we saw on Friday, if the same people that were buyers become sellers, we see how fast the bean market can move. You know, we moved 20 cents there on Friday, and basically no real news other than running through stops. And the same thing can happen on the downside. So, you know, we've got a lot of fluctuation here. A lot of the things haven't changed. You know, as much as we want to say the crude oil, the things have settled down, I believe we're still well over $70 in crude oil and still makes energy quite high, such as an inflation factor such that way. The dollar, you know, strengthened today. You know, what will the news be, whatever, along the way that way. And as we all know, when we're somewhat in a weather market and we feel for the demand that we're looking at that we have to have some fairly decent weather or else we're going to see some weather premium put back in, we're only one weather forecast away from a turnaround in this market.
You know, what do you suppose the funds really are looking at this point? Was it just time for them to go ahead and sell? Did they look at the crop progress reports yesterday and say, well, they're not so bad, or what was the case?
Well, I don't think we've seen, you know, extensive fund liquidation. We saw some liquidation, some backing away, and I think part of it was more the economic numbers. More so than what's happening. Also in the corn, where most of the liquidation took place, Todd, is that's where they are extremely long in comparison to anything else, and they didn't leave a lot of room to be adding more to it, more so maybe backing off and deciding what to do. But we've heard that there's talk of reallocation of fund money going back into the bond market sort of as a safe haven for the meantime as the Fed does do some tightening here.
And what are you suggesting producers do at this point? Just stand by the sidelines and
watch? You know, some of the advisory services resold corn today. I guess we're going to more or less be sidelined here because we feel that there's probably some weather activity yet to happen. It is only the 6th of June, and we figure there's one or two more weather scares left in this summer.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Ed Keezer forecast for the two-state region tonight calls for, in Illinois and western Indiana, mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In eastern Indiana, increasing cloudiness, showers, some thunderstorms arriving overnight, and Ed says lows will range between 59 and 64 this evening. Tomorrow, he says, in western Illinois, it'll be mostly sunny. In eastern Illinois, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. In Indiana, mostly cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms there too. Highs will range from 76 in northeastern Indiana to 86 in west central and southwestern Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Senate this week is expected to take up the issue of the permanent repeal of the estate tax, known by its opponents as the death tax. But a growing number of lawmakers are suggesting scaling back the tax may be more politically viable. The House has already approved a full death tax repeal, but in May, Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley said the votes for permanent repeal just aren't there. Others echo that belief, and some of those senators, recognizing the lack of support for permanent repeal, are considering other options, including an alternative that would reduce the tax. And USDA has launched the Risk Management Agency's Good Farming Practices Documentation Tool. The tool will be available online and through crop insurance agents, and according to U.S. Deputy Ag Secretary Chuck Connor, it will help farmers quickly and accurately record the actions they take to prevent or treat an outbreak of soybean rust. The Good Farming Practices Documentation Tool is available on the World Wide Web at sbrusa.net. That's S-B-R-U-S-A, all one word, .net. SBRUSA stands for Soybean Rust, United States of America. It's the same website that provides growers with real-time observations and forecasting information on soybean rust. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Up next, we probably don't have to tell you this, but row crop farm income in the state of Illinois dropped dramatically last year. It was just about half of the previous year's statewide average. There's no doubt 2004 was a very good year for Illinois farmers. 2005, on the other hand, not nearly so good. Extension Farm Management Specialist Dale Latz from the University of Illinois has the breakdown from the Farm Business Farm Management Record Keeping Association.
This information comes from a little under 3,000 farms across all the state of Illinois. Most of them are grain farms. We do have some livestock farms, of course, scattered in there. One of the measures that we look at in measuring farm incomes is what we call the farm operators' return to labor and management. And how that figure is calculated is basically looking at net farm income and subtracting from net farm income a fair return to their equity in the business, investment in machinery, land, and so forth. And this kind of equates that to kind of a wage earner and what a person would make just from a W-2 wage and so forth. So that's one of the calculations we look at. As we look at the results for 2005, we did see a drop from 2004. The actual figure for 2005 was just a little under $39,000 as far as the operator's return to labor and management. That compared to 2004, figure of just about $78,000.
So statewide, Illinois farmers averaged about half of their 2004 income last year. That sounds like a crash, but if you compare the $39K figure for 2005 to the rolling five-year average, it's not nearly as bad. The statewide five-year average farmer salary was about $40,500. The primary reason for the drop in income was a drop in corn yields last year, says the U of I economist.
The average corn yield on these farms in 2005 was 148 bushel per acre. That compared to 2004 of 184 bushel per acre. So again, a pretty significant drop. The five-year average corn yield on these farms is 162 bushels. So even we were fairly below the five-year average also.
The statewide FBFM soybean yield was much better. Latz says the second or third highest ever at 51 bushels to the acre. Overall, Latz says gross income for the FBFM farms dropped about 5% last year, but that it cost 7% more for the inputs. Those came in four primary areas, including increased costs from 2004 to 2005 for fertilizer, seed, fuel, and farm chemicals.
Fertilizer increased 16%. Pesticides or chemicals, 11%, seed, 11%, and fuel, which we hear a lot about, increased 29% compared to the year before. It's not as large a component as the fertilizer, chemicals, and seed, but it's nothing to sneeze at either when we have that kind of an increase. So we knew costs were up this information kind of quantifies exactly how much that did increase.
If you add those four components together, Dale Latt says it cost a farmer an extra $18 an acre just to put a crop in the ground last year, or on the average across the some 3,000 FBFM farms, an additional $15,000 each. Central and East Central Illinois farmers, on average, did much better than the other producers in the state. Farmers in the North and the West suffered through a drought. Farmers in the South did better, but could not come close to matching their record 2004 season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The United States Department of Agriculture has released the weekly crop progress reports. As of last Saturday, USDA says 89% of the beans had been put in the ground this season. That's the same as last year, but ahead of the rolling five-year average of 81%. Last year, 67% of the crop was up and growing. This year, 70% is out of the ground, the five-year average at 58%, by the way. Crop conditions for the beans look like this. 8% in excellent condition, 54% in good condition, and 31% in fair condition. Corn crop across the nation this week at 15% excellent condition, 56% good condition, and 24% fair condition. By the way, the numbers look like this for the corn emerge, 94% as of last Saturday. That compares with the same number for last year and is ahead of the rolling five-year average of 89%.
This is Brad Schwab, director with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 4th. Continued hot weather across the state last week, with temperatures averaging from 5 to 10 degrees above normal, has brought on exceptional growth in corn and soybean fields. The widespread precipitation, ranging from none to over 3 inches, was a blessing for most. However, has caused problems for others in trying to finish up soybean planting and putting up hay. But on a positive note, growing degree days have made a comeback due to the above normal temperatures the last 2 weeks, and most reporting stations are at or near their historic averages. Topsoil moisture supplies statewide held basically steady at 2% very short, 11% short, 76% adequate, and 11% surplus. The Southeast Crop Reporting District was reported as the wettest area of the state with a rating of 84% surplus. Taking a detailed look at the crop progress numbers for the week, corn emergence has reached 97% compared to 99% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. The average height of all emerged fields came in at 11 inches, 1 inch shorter than 1 year ago, but the same as the five-year average. Overall, the corn crop was rated in mostly good condition. Soybean planting increased by only 13 percentage points to 91% complete, trailing last year's 98%, but was ahead of the five-year average of 83%. Emergence of soybeans reached 73% compared to 90% 1 year ago and 65% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean emergence was the West District at 90%. Statewide, soybeans were rated in fair to mostly good condition. Soft red winter wheat continues to mature ahead of normal, with 63% of the crop turning yellow compared to 46% 1 year ago and 43% for the five-year average. 8% of the fields are ripe compared to 1% 1 year ago and 3% normally. This is Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Wilson with the Indiana Field Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the crop weather report for the week ending June 4th. Excess soil moisture, surface crusting, and a cool early May temperatures caused many Indiana farmers to replant corn and soybeans this week. Severe thunderstorms continued to plague the state last week as tornadoes, hail, and crop-damaging downpours were spotted. Warmer weather has the planted corn and soybeans looking better in the fields. Herbicides and fertilizers need to be applied, but farmers can't get back into their fields. Winter wheat is starting to turn in much of the state. There were almost 4 days suitable for field work last week. 93% of the intended corn acreage in Indiana has been planted, compared with 100% last year and 93% for the five-year average. 80% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared to 97% last year and 84% for the five-year average. 73% of the soybean acreage is planted, compared to 95% for last year and 81% for the five-year average. By area, 82% of the soybean acreage is planted in the north, 77% in the central, and 49% in the south. 50% of the soybean acreage has emerged, compared to 81% last year and 66% for the five-year average. 99% of the Indiana winter wheat acreage is headed, compared with 96% for both last year and the five-year average. Pasture condition is rated 83% good to excellent, and livestock are in mostly good condition. This is Steve Wilson with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service from the Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 4, 2006. There were 6 days suitable for field work last week compared to 4.5 days last year. Much of that time was spent spraying crops and cutting hay. Concern for moisture levels has begun as many areas of Iowa saw little rain in May. Thus, soil moisture conditions have deteriorated slightly. Topsoil moisture rated 7% very short, 26% short, 65% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 4% very short, 19% short, 74% adequate, and 3% surplus across the state. This was the driest May since 1994, but also the first May since 1978 with no tornadoes reported in the state. Corn emergence is nearly complete, slightly ahead of last year and the five-year average. The corn condition is reported as 2% poor, 16% fair, 56% good, and 26% excellent. Soybean planting is nearly complete. Planting progress in the southern third of the state lags slightly behind the rest of Iowa. Soybean emergence increased 30 percentage points statewide since last week to 86%, which is 6 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of the five-year average. The soybean condition is reported as 2% poor, 18% fair, 59% good, and 21% excellent. The first alfalfa harvest is 66% complete, which is 6 days ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of normal. Much of the first hay crop was cut and put up without being rained on at all. This has been Brad Parks with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report.
This is Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 4, 2006. Dry conditions continue to stress crops and pastures, with soil moisture levels continuing to decline. Corn conditions rated 67% good or excellent, near last week but below last year. Soybean conditions rated 64% good or excellent, below last year. Wheat conditions rated 21% good or excellent, a decline from last week and well below last year. Alfalfa first cutting continued to be about a week ahead of average, although conditions declined and were rated below last week and last year. Sorghum planting was 84% complete, ahead of last year and average. Dry bean planting was 61% complete, well ahead of last year and average. Pasture and range conditions continued to decline and rated 35% good and excellent. This has been McCager Thompson with USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 4, 2006. Crop development advanced further beyond the five-year average pace, aided by warm temperatures and mostly adequate topsoil moisture. Small grains were nearly all emerged and moving into the jointing stage. Corn and soybean growth showed good progress, while the first cutting alfalfa advanced 35 percentage points from the previous week. The average temperature for the week was 69.8 degrees, 8 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, June 2nd, were rated 3% very short, 19% short, 72% adequate, and 6% surplus. As of Sunday, corn was estimated at 96% emerged with an average height of 6 inches, 3 inches higher than average. Soybeans were 75% emerged, 22 percentage points ahead of the average, and soybean height was estimated at 2 inches. Spring wheat was 96% emerged compared to 94% last year and 88% for the five-year average. Spring wheat was 16% jointed compared to 8% last year and 11% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 4, 2006. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. In a couple minutes, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Urbana City Council members voted last night to delay the start of a smoking ban for bars until January 1st, assuming Champaign's ordinance would require that city to follow their lead. But Champaign City Attorney Fred Staven says they don't have to do that, and that Champaign Council members are free to keep the starting date for the bar ban at August 1st if they want to. Meanwhile, the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is raising questions about its role in enforcing the new smoking ban. The ordinances in both Champaign and Urbana call on the CUPHD to help in issuing tickets to violators. But Public Health District officials told the Urbana City Council last night that while they support the smoking ban, no one had asked them in advance about their role in enforcing it. Prosecutors plan to file former murder charges today against two men suspected of killing seven members of an Indianapolis family last week. Both 28-year-old Desmond Turner and 30-year-old James Stewart have been appointed public defenders who are certified for death penalty cases. The first funeral service for one of the victims was also held today. Democratic precinct committeemen have tapped Phil Hare to take retiring Illinois Congressman Lane Evans' spot as the party's candidate on November's ballot for the 17th Congressional District. Hare is Evans' top aide. He's worked in the congressman's district office since he was first elected in 1982 and won Evans' support for the special vote. The 54-year-old Evans won the Democratic nomination in March, but he decided to retire after his current term due to complications from Parkinson's disease. The company that provides substance abuse treatment programs at the Sheridan Correctional Center in Northern Illinois says 10 counselors have crossed a picket line to get to work. About 50 drug counselors walked off the job today. They're in a contract dispute with Chicago-based Gateway Foundation. A spokesman for the union representing the striking drug counselor says strikebreakers are to be expected at any strike. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. When up-to-date weather or market information is important to you, WILL-AM is a place to stay connected. Help ensure that connection with a contribution. This is a listener-supported radio. And right now, you can help us raise the dollars we still need to meet our June 30th fundraising goal if you're online, point your browser to willpledge.org and make a credit card contribution, or you can dial 217-244-9455. 55. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather for this afternoon is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest, please.
Well, we're just going to roll along here. Temperatures lower to mid-80s, nighttime lows upper 50s and lower 60s. We're going to be looking at these temperatures holding pretty much steady, if not getting a little bit warmer towards the weekend and early next week. Not far from normal, and this trend will continue right on into the next week or two. And we are going to have some off and on chances of shower and thunderstorm activity. So this is all going to add up to pretty close to near normal everything, near normal temperatures and close to normal precipitation expected over the next 10 days.
That's unusual for this year so far.
So far, yeah. It's actually nice to be a little bit towards the normalcy for a change.
Any place around the globe that we need to check in on?
Well, if we go around the northern hemisphere, we do see a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity in some of the dry areas of the western plains. We're going to have quite a bit of shower and thunderstorm activity over the Dakotas. The northern plain states may have too much in the way of bad weather in terms of rain and thunderstorms and severe conditions. Over in Europe, central, southern, and eastern Europe will have the best chances of rain, while western Europe will be a little bit on the dry side. Over in China, those southern and eastern areas still look to be very wet, drying out and warming up in the central, northern, and eastern areas of China.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that'll do her.
Thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Well, that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to willag.org. And then you can find all of our ag programming, including a link to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey and I apologize for not having that out. I was on vacation over the weekend, and Dave has been seriously ill for the last 4 or 5 days. He's taken a couple days off to recover this week, but I guarantee it'll return for the weekend. If you want to subscribe, WILLAG.org, and then just hit the subscribe note, and we'll get that newsletter to you this weekend. You have a great and a very safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.